to dedicate the shir to a refuah shleima. For Avram Zalman ben Manos. Okay, so to kind of zero in a little bit on the aspects we saw yesterday of Bizwe Mitzvah and Hukzalim Mitzvah, and to expand on them a little bit. So we saw that there were a number of reasons why it is that Ner Chanukah Asur Lishtamish La'ora, and we weren't sure how many reasons, because we're not sure what should be grouped with what. So we saw Heker as a reason, and we don't want people saying Haro Omer L'Sorchu Hidlik. That could be one reason, could be two reasons. We saw Dumi D'Menorah Beis HaMikdash. Could be two reasons, could be one reason. Discussed yesterday why it's very possibly two reasons. And another two that may or may not be grouped together is the topic of Bizwe Mitzvah. Bizwe Mitzvah certainly seems to exist because it's a sugya on Chav Beis Amud Aleph. And it's a number of sugyas. The Gemara kind of has a progression, first introducing it in the context of this issur of counting money in front of the candles, and then going on to mention it in the context of sukkah, that not using the aspects of a sukkah is also a problem of Bizwe Mitzvah, and eventually getting into a topic we haven't discussed so much about Madlikim Miner Luner, about lighting from one candle to the next, which again has its own issues, and we'll also address that more fully in the Komo. But the Gemara certainly makes it clear that Bizwe Mitzvah is a concern, even if you hold for all the other reasons. And the question is, how does this tie in with another phrase that we've also seen in the Rishonim, and has also been applied certainly to Sukkah, the phrase of Huktzal Mitzvaso, that if an item is set aside for a mitzvah purpose, so then that creates an Isser Hana to benefit from it and to use it. So is that the same thing? Are we saying that basically, okay, if something is identified for a mitzvah purpose, so then you can't use it for other things? So that's what Bizwe Mitzvah is, right? Bizwe Mitzvah is showing your disrespect for a mitzvah by using it for other things. So are they the same? So it's not really so clear. If you look at Tosfos and Daf Beis Amud Aleph, I don't think I actually put it in the Ma'amar Komos. But if you look at this Tosfos, this big Tosfos, Dibra Maskil Sukkah, so it starts off by raising the issue, it says, Mashma, the time of the Noye Sukkah, Mishun Bizwe Mitzvah. That using the sukkah decorations for other things should be an issue of Bizwe Mitzvah, Vakasha Lari, Parakira, and this is an issue that the Re raises based on the Gemara later on in Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, where there it's Mashma Detaimo Mishum Migo Deskatsoi LeMitzvasa. That there the problem is that it's set aside for a mitzvah, it's Huxel LeMitzvasa. So says Tosus, it's here, it's the Tzrichi LeTravayu. We need both reasons. The Mishum Diskatsi the Mitzvasa, Lo Havi Asrinin Bechol Shomoit. That the issue of Huxla Mitzvasa would not have an impact for us on Chalamoit, because Lo Shayech Muktza, Ella, and then here it says in parentheses, Benafal B'Shabbos B'Yantiv, or on Shabbos Yantiv, it's not clear which one he means to say. Mishum Bizwe Mitzvah, Lo Havi Asrinin Lo Hecha Denafal. So each one has a different field of application. Huxla Mitzvaso is relevant only on Shabbos or Yantif, or relevant only if the issue came about on Shabbos or Yantif. That's a significant difference. While Bizwe Mitzvah would only be relevant while the object is being used for a mitzvah. If it's been separated from the mitzvah, if it's fallen down from the sukkah, so then we wouldn't have a Bizwe Mitzvah issue. So then Tosfos goes on to continue this question in much greater length. But what emerges from that first part of Tosfos is that these are two separate concepts. Each one has its own scope. They may apply, they may not apply. And therefore, according to Tosfos, we don't really have an explicit source from the Gemara that sukkah is considered to be Huktzal Mitzvah. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, but we just don't know that for sure. Right, it's possible to say within Tosfos that even though Bizwe Mitzvah pretty clearly seems to apply, right, that pretty much according to everybody, right, even according to the Baal HaMor, who said that there are other factors at play, but he said, and we don't pass him like both Gemaras, but we definitely pass him like this Gemara. So everyone seems to agree that Bizwe Mitzvah is a factor when it comes to Sukkah. And when it comes to mitzvahs neres Hanukkah, but hutzlul mitzvah, so maybe, maybe not. Some Rishonim do seem to use that phrase. And you may also say that it's the same thing, that once you have one, you have the other. So, for example, if you look at the Tosfos Rishonim, there's a comment on this Tosfos. Right, so he has two comments. The first one he says along the lines of the existing Tosfos. But then the last three lines of this Tosfos says, Inami hakol echad, yisgatz l'mitzvaso mishum bizui mitzvah. That the principle of hutzlul mitzvaso, at least in this case, emerges because of bizui mitzvah. So then, if that's the case, so then it means that since we know bizui mitzvah applies to Neres Chanukah, so then that applies to, then hutzlul mitzvaso applies to. And then maybe that's going to expand the scope of this Isser Hanah. It's also then a fair question to ask, where does Rashi fit into all this? Right, where Rashi, who talks about the Hecker, so presumably then, if that's the issue, so then the Isser is only at the time that it's being used. If it's not being used, then presumably Hecker factor is not going to create a greater Isser. Unless you say that Hutzlul Mitzvaso is created by these types of concerns, that once you set aside an Isser to use something, that translates into Hutzlul Mitzvaso. So that's a little bit of an open question. It's not really clear. There's a suffix about this. There's a classic sefer in Hilchos Chanukah, a relatively classic sefer. Many years ago, it was often quoted in that sense. One of the Talmidim, the Brisker Rav, was Rav Tertzin. So Rav Tertzin had a sefer. It used to be published, could only get it in a stencil form, kind of had this mystique to it. Then it was actually published in formal sefer form, and now you can buy it in the stores. It's called Kuntres Chanukah Megillah. You see, it uses the Rambam's phrasing, which is a very brisker focus on the Rambam's writings. So, in the Kuntres Chanukah Megillah, so he says initially, you might say, from Rashi's position, that it seems like this isn't going to necessarily translate into Hutzlul Mitzvaso for Neres Chanukah, unless you want to say, along the lines of the Tosfos Rishonim, that it's all the same thing, that once you have another Isser, Bizui Mitzvah or something like that, then that will create a Hutzlul Mitzvaso type of status. And that could have various implications. So part of the question is, so what happens after Chanukah? Right, what happens with whatever oil you have left over? So here you have a number of views. So it's very interesting just to follow the progression of this view. I'll show you a little bit about this. Is you have, let's say, a machlokes, which seems to be a machlokes, or is interpreted by the later Rishonim as a machlokes between the Rif and the She'iltos. What's the machlokes about? She'iltos in Parshas Vayishlach, the She'iltos was on the border between the Gaonim and the Rishonim. It was written by Rav Achai Gaon, who lived in the 900s, right before Rashi. And so he was a very late Gaon, very early Rishon. And he arranged all of halacha based on the parshios. To make it easier for his son to learn halacha, he wrote the sefer, which was an arrangement of all the halachic topics based on the parshios, called the She'iltos. And it's also very well known because, this isn't why the Rishonim quote it, but to the Achronim he's well known because the Netziv wrote a sefer on the She'iltos, right? So Netziv's sefer, Heimek Sha'ala, it's one of the earlier svarim in his life that he wrote, which really says something. It's a very complex sefer. But that was written as a commentary on the She'iltos. So we, at an age when most of us had never heard of the She'iltos, he was writing commentaries on the She'iltos. So, and it says in a different madriga. So the She'iltos has a machlokas with what's probably the Shita of the Rev, in terms of what happens to the oil after Chanukah is over. So according to the She'iltos, if you have leftover on the first day, so then you should add a little bit and then light that oil for the second night. And if you have leftover the second night, add a little bit, light for the third night, etc., 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 until you get to the eighth night. What happens if you have leftover for the eighth night? So you can't leave it for the next night. So then you put it all in its own private bonfire and you burn it up. In other words, what's his position? His position is that this is not only Asur Bahana during the time of the mitzvah, but it has a kedusha to it, let's say, or as we used the phrase yesterday, or it has a hukzal mitzvaso status, which means that it's off limits completely, even after the mitzvah is over. And the assumption is that the Rif would disagree, because we discussed, and this probably ties in very closely to the inner workings of the sugya, so we discussed that Kavsa Zakakla, they're not obligated to relight it if the candle goes out during the time of the mitzvah, say during a half hour. But what happens if the half hour is over? So are you allowed to extinguish the candle? So the Rif said yes. The Rif said that, and the Rambam Paskins like this also, that after the time is up, then you can extinguish it. So if that's the case, so then Mimstama, it makes sense that you're extinguishing it because you're going to use the oil. And therefore, it's assumed that what he means is that it's mutter to use the oil not only after Hanukkah is over, but even during Hanukkah, the oil that's left over from beyond the time of the mitzvah, you can use that as well. So that's a little bit of a challengeable assumption. The assumption is that that's the Rif's position. If you look in the Sfas Emes and a few other commentaries on the Daf, they're not 100% sure how he gets to that. That it's not a 100% solid slam dunk equation. That Hana and extinguishing are not the same thing. So the fact that we allow you to extinguish it wouldn't necessarily mean that you could use it. What would that mean about using it, let's say, while it's still burning after a half hour? Is it the same thing? It's not necessarily 100% comparable, so we'll have to maybe talk about that, why he should assume that that's what the Rif is getting at. But that's how many of the Rishonim quote the Rif, and the Meiri essentially establishes, he sums up all the Shitas, so he says you come up with three Shitas. You have those who don't let you do anything while the candles are burning, those who let you extinguish the candles that are burning and then presumably use them, and then you have this view of the Shiltas and some of the Gaonim that even after Hanukkah you can't use it for anything else and it has to be consumed. So if one takes this position, so then one has to figure out how exactly do we compare that to Sukkah, because Sukkah, even though we were taking for granted that Sukkah has a status of Huxel and Mitzvaso, but there, it's only during the time of Sukkot. After Sukkot is over, so then the Sukkot items, the Sukkot itself, as well as the Lulav and Esrog, can be used for other things. So the Rishonim raised this question, why exactly should there be such a distinction where Hanukkah comes out more machmir, according to that position, than Sukkot? Yosef, you had a question?
I was just thinking that you wouldn't necessarily be able to derive anything from the fact that if you could extinguish it or then use it afterwards, what you do with the wicks afterwards, you can't learn anything about that to can you use the lights after it's gone if it was still lighted, if it was still lit. Because maybe you might have that if you're concerned about that whole pursuing these aspect or someone walking by and seeing it when it's in use. So that,
it's definitely a concern. And maybe those who say in the Hanami, but that's definitely raised that it would seem to be a problem, certainly with onlookers, and certainly want to try to figure out about why that should be mutter. So the Rishonim try to figure that out. According to this Machmir position, so why is it that there's a greater chumrah to Hanukkah than there is to Sukkah, that not only are we saying that it's Asur Bahana, but the Isser continues even after the Zman of the Mitzvah is over. So one source I don't think I gave you, but it's very striking, that if you look at the question the way it's asked by Tosus over here, in Masach, not over here, but in Masach Shabbos, in the third parak, in Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, Tosfos Dibro Maschil Shebener. So here it's talking about Neir Shabbos. So if you look at the first line of Tosfos, it says V'achar Shabbos Mutter Afilu Rabbi Yehuda V'achanami Tani L'Kaman Gabi No Yisukah Also L'Stapik Mehen Agmos So Yontif Ha'achron Aval Basar HaChishari. That by Neir Shabbos and by Chisukah we find that there's an Isser on them during the time, but afterwards, it's mutter to use them. So v'kasha l'ri, d'mayishna miner Chanukah. So that's difficult, because how is that different than Ner Chanukah? What does he mean? He means Ner Chanukah according to the Shiltas, right? Because it's not necessarily a given that there's any difference. Except look at the way he quotes it. It's very striking. D'tanya, Kabbal el Risha Moshe Falab La Bez Madlik Bo, Kabbal el Ches also Madrif Neatmo, if Nation Hooks from its fossil. So he quotes that as if it's a Mishnah. I mean, it's that's pretty heavy duty. So it's not just the Shiltas then. So the thing is, you have to figure out exactly who it is, because if you look at the note on the side of the page, in the Masoros HaShas, or at least in the fancy Masoros HaShas and Hosafos, so if you look what he says on that Tosis, where Tosis says the Tanya, so he writes, B'Shas lo nimtzu mekomo. This is not actually in the Talmud, as we have it. Ela b'she'oltos parshas v'yishlof. Have you harosh parakon madlikin? So this is a view that the Rishonim quote from the Shultas, but it's not exactly a Gemara. Then he goes on further, we'll discuss this in some greater length in a minute, to note that it's actually not just that, but it's a Tanchuma, it's a Medrash. So there is some pretty heavy-duty lineage behind this quote. It's not taken as a straight Gemara, but it is a pretty significant position that seems to be pretty early in terms of its vintage. Nonetheless, the way it's quoted in the later Sfarim, in the later Rishonim, is mostly from the Shiltas, and with a position sometimes Miktsas HaGaonim, it's the minority view. So this view ends up being adopted by the Shulchan Aruch, in Tafrei Shayin Zayin, but it's taken an interesting path. So it comes from some Chazal-oriented source, through some of the Rishonim as a minority view, ending up to be the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. So you have to figure out a little bit what that's about. But in any event, so this is the view that that the Shultas has. So it's interesting to consider the question a little bit. What exactly is the reason for this? What exactly is the nature for the din? So first of all, just when we consider its history as a Medrash, so there is a fascinating comment by Rav Yosef Engel. And this gives us an opportunity for some synergy, because it's Rav Yosef Engel in the very same essay that we quoted last week when we were discussing Malachos of Shabbos. Last Sunday, we were talking about Malachos, and we've mentioned this in general because it's a topic that comes up again and again. So Rav Yosef Engel makes the following position, that there is a view in Achronim, a lot of Achronim take this position, that an Isser Drabanan can't be an Isser Cheftza. An Isser Drabanan cannot attach to an object. You have an Isser Daraisa, that can affect the status of an object. Kadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, and Kadosh Baruch Hu made the world, so he said Chazer is Treif, so Chazer is an Isser Cheftza. But many Achronim assume, this is a position associated with the Nesiv, this we've discussed this a few times, that if you have an Isser Drabanan, it can't work that way. Because the nature of an Isser Drabanan is that Chazal have the authority to tell us what to do. So we have to listen. So that's called an Isser Gavra. But an object doesn't take on any kind of an inherent status. So there's no such thing as an Isser Cheftza Midrabanan. That's how a lot of Achronim assume. And then they also say, in a parallel way, that if something is only temporarily Asr, even if it's Asr Menat Torah, then it's not an Isr B'cheftza. We mentioned that in the context of Melacha Shabbos, if you remember, that you could say Chazer is Asr B'cheftza, but have Yom Kippur this week, you're going to tell me that all the food in the world is Asr B'cheftza this coming Shabbos? Can't be. 355 days a year it's Mutter, however many days it's Mutter, so all of a sudden one day it changes status, so Achronim assume that if it's either an Isser Drabanan or a temporary Isser, there's no such thing as an Isser Cheftza. So it happens to be Rav Yosef Engel disagrees with both those premises. In Klal Yud, in the Sefer Asvan Deraisa, he doesn't accept either of those positions. We mentioned half of that recently when talking about Melacha Shabbos. So when it comes to Yisurim Drabanan, he doesn't think that's true either. He doesn't think that it's the case that Yisurim Drabanan are limited in their impact. He thinks that there is more to it than that, that they can have impact like an Isser Daraisa. And he says, I'll prove it to you. It's a Medrash. It's a Tanchuma in Parshas Naso. And the Tanchuma that he quotes, that's the Shiltas that we're talking about right now. The same Shiltas is actually found in this Tanchuma. So it says, if you're listening, go look at the Tanchuma. Tanchuma says the following thing. It says that, has this din, what should you do if you have a extra oil for your Ner Chanukah? So then you should add to it for the next day and light, and keep going until the eighth day, and then you should burn the rest. And that's what you should do. And then immediately after that, the Bedra says, and don't ever think that you don't have to listen to Divrei Zakenim, you're mechuyev to listen to the words of Chazal. And says a little bit more about that. So says Rav Yosef Engel, what does one have to do with the other? All of a sudden, this Bedra says, by the way, here's a good time to give a Musar Shmuz about listening to Dinim Derabanan. Right, we have many cases of Dinim Derabanan all over the rabbinic literature. Talk about it wherever you want. All of a sudden here, this din is going to tell us about the chiyuv of listening to Dinim Derabanan. So says Rav Yosef Engel, no. This Medrash agrees with me. This Medrash agrees with his position. What's the Medrash coming to address? It says, you might think that because Chanukah is a Din Derabanan, so therefore it emerges that it can't ever affect the Chafetz. The object doesn't take on any status. So, therefore, the concept of Huktzel Mitzvaso could not apply to Ner Chanukah, because it's only an Isser on you, on how you do things. Or it's only a mitzvah in this case on how you do things. So we can't attach a Chefzah status to anything when the mitzvah involved is Drabbanan. Kamash Palan, that's not true. That's what the Medrash is coming to tell you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu backs up the authority of Chazal. That's why you have that whole Musar Shmuz there about listening to Dinim Derabanan. So says Rav Yosef Engel, that's my point, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endorses all the rabbinic dictates, so therefore Dinim Derabanan has impact on the world. So if it's possible for Nisar Deraisa to be a Chafetz Yisr, so too Nisar Derabanan can be a Yisr Chafetz as well. That's what emerges specifically from this Medrash, which is the basis for the words that we find in the Shiltas and a lot of other Rishonim. I saw in a contemporary Sefer, disagree with the way he presents it, so I'm not going to quote where I saw it, but I think it's still relevant to understanding some other points here, so I'll mention it and we'll try to adapt it a little bit, that quoted Rav Yosef Engel as asking this kasha. It's really more than asking the kasha. He thinks it's not a kasha, he thinks it's a proof for his position. But this Mechaber said that maybe the whole point is that, oh, it's a kasha, this din seems to go against the Yisod of the Achronim, that Nisa Drabanan is not going to attach to a Chefza. Well, maybe Neris Chanukah is different, because we see that you could theoretically have somebody else light your menorah for you. So that shows you that it's not a mitzvah in the actual halakha, it's a mitzvah in having the candles lit. And therefore, maybe here, so Chazal made an Isser in the Chafetza as an exception. And that normally every Isser Derabanan is in the Gavra, but here it's in the Chafetza. So it's problematic, I think, from a couple of levels. First of all, we just spent all this time talking about Kavsa Lozakakla. To say that the mitzvah is not in the Hadlaka is difficult. We have to explain these other dinim, but it doesn't seem to be the case that the mitzvah is not at all in the Hadlaka. Second of all, the point of the Achronim is not that Chazal didn't want to make an Isser Chafetza. The point is that conceptually they can't make an Isser Chafetza according to their approach, because they only have authority over human beings. They have authority over Jews to tell them what to do, but they can't change the reality of the world. So even if they were to decide to make a mitzvah in a different way based on this, it's still going to have the same problem. It's not going to follow that because the mitzvah has a different concept, it's going to play out differently. So that seems to be a difficult approach, I think. But if we come at it a little bit differently, and this is along the lines of what Shmuel was pointing out yesterday, that on the one hand, our instinct would be to say that Kavso lo zakuk lo, so therefore we can't really have any dinim regulating what happens after the first second. But we do find that that's not totally the case, and we saw this specifically in the sugya of Kavsa, that even the didan, that was akutla, that we're not obligated to relight it, but we still do see that there is a kiyum at least, that there is some kind of mitzvah going on as long as it is lit. So there is some significance to what's happening, a strong significance to what's happening. So that seems to connect to the fact that we have this view that there is something that's going to attach to the Neres Chanukah, at least while they're lit. Now, it's a bigger chiddush, the position of the Shultis, that even after they're no longer lit, and after the Zman, that's a whole different dimension, which itself brings something else into the equation. But even those who are more mako than the Shultis would say that there's an Isser while it's lit, that seems to extend from this fact. So, the Shultis goes beyond this, and this Medrash goes beyond this, and says that the intent to use it attaches to the Chavtza, and that's an even bigger chiddush. Okay, so we're almost out of time. I want to add one more thing, but everyone following so far? Does it make sense, more or less? So the difficult thing, and we'll have to fill in this tomorrow and then move on to Yom Kippur topics, is halacha l'maisa. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? So it says in Shulchan Aruch that basically copies this Medrash in the Shultis, is basically said the way it is, that if you have leftover oil, then you use it for the next day, and if you have leftover oil at the end of Hanukkah, you destroy it. You know, burn it in the Madura. That's in Simchat Torah Reish Ayin Zayin. However, in Simchat Torah Reish Ayin Beis, he says that if the Hanukkah candle was burning more than a half hour, then you can extinguish it. Whose position is that? It's the Rif. Right? The Rif was basically taken as being in dispute with the Shultis. The assumption was that if you can extinguish it, then you could use it. And here he's also paskening that you can't even use it after the Hanukkah is over. So it seems to be quite a steerer. The Taz talks about this, and we'll have to expand a little bit on what the Taz says. But the Taz quotes different approaches where, just to introduce the topic and we'll get into a little more, one approach he mentions is that maybe there's a difference between the oil that's needed for a half hour and the oil that's left over after that, that's more than a half hour's worth, which is significantly going to affect this din and its parameters. Or also, maybe your intent makes a difference. That maybe if you don't have intent, so if you have a tanai, let's say, that you only want it to be used for now and not to have a status for later, maybe that helps. But somebody who just puts oil in his menorah and doesn't think about it, maybe that does attain a status of hoksum mitzvasa. And intent, we didn't actually get to talk about this, I'll let you go in a second, but just wouldn't even mention the Ran's whole approach, the difference between sukkah and Chanukah, where the Ran says we're more machmir according to the Chumrah position, the Shultis, by Chanukah than by Sukkah, basically as a function of intent. That when somebody lights Chanukah candles, he's not hoping that they'll go out so he can use the rest of it. In other words, he basically assumes that it's going to be consumed and whatever he put in there should be used. While when he builds a Sukkah, he knows that Sukkah is going to end eventually and the wood will still exist, and therefore, presumably, he only has a mind to set it aside for the time of Sukkahs. But Hanukkah candles, he assumes it's going to get used up, so anything that's left over is still included in what he originally dedicated to the mitzvah. And then the Ran says, well, what about Shabbos? As the Tosfos raises over here, that Shabbos, you could say the same thing, you expect your Shabbos candles to completely use up the oil. So there, it's different, says the Ran, because on Shabbos, you could use the candles when they're burning. So to say that there's going to be an Isser Hanah afterwards is difficult to say. They're not in the same category as Neres Chanukah, where there's an Isser Hanah from the very beginning. So Shabbos is different. But in terms of Sukkot versus Chanukah, so the issue is, what do you have in mind? You have in mind to use it during this month of the mitzvah only. That's the case with Sukkah. And Neres Chanukah, you have in mind that you're going to never see this oil again. So the whole thing is considered to be Huxl Mitzvah, so according to that. So this factor of intent, that seems to be what the Taz is building on. Logic like that. He's quoting an opinion in Mario. We'll talk about that tomorrow. By saying that seems to be the factor, that if you have intent to only limit your usage, then you can extinguish it and do whatever you want with it. But minastam, if you didn't say anything, so then whatever is left over, you have to burn and destroy. So there's a little bit more to say about that, left over for the next day. So Bez Hashem will continue that then, and then talk a little bit about it. Shkayach.